the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, joins us now to talk about, well, training camp, Jim. It's now only 8 days away.
It is, and it's my birthday today, Vic. So
Happy birthday to you.
Thanks. I'm glad that they didn't start camp today because it really is a week-long celebration in the Donovan household to celebrate a birthday.
A lot of candles going on, too, right?
There are a lot of candles. There's one more than there was last year, but that's good. Counting down now. Really excited. Boy, it'd be tough to be out on those practice fields today, though, in the middle of this heat. But I think everyone is – you know, anticipating camp, anticipating the storylines of camp, and there are plenty of them.
And I know this isn't a new thing with this team, certainly, to have new people, new coaches, new players come into play, new front office people. That's not a new thing to the Browns, except that there seems to be right now, correct me if I'm wrong, a much greater sense of anticipation for what we're about to see just because of the nature of some of these changes, and there's some excitement about it because there seems to be far greater investment in this team and making this team better than what we've seen in recent years.
Yeah, I think so. I think investments is a good way to describe it too, Vic. I think that, you know, you take a look at it and I think when Jimmy Haslam came here, he was excited to be in the club now as an NFL owner, and it really excited to get it going. But last year was a really awkward, you know, very unique situation because he was the owner of the team, but he had to be voted in by the other members of the ownership group. But that came like 6 weeks into the season. So they had kind of 10 games under their own wing, but now they've had a full off season and they've had a full year really to prepare for this. And this is their act now. I mean, they're not taking over somebody else's team. They've had a chance to put the wheels in motion and guide it the way they want to do it. So we're going to get a look at what their idea of the Cleveland Browns is, and that will start next week.
And the fascination goes, I think, well beyond just looking at how these players perform on the field. I think there's a whole separate piece here in just watching the philosophical approach to camp and this coaching staff, how they're going to do things. Because we saw signs of it during the off-season workouts, Jim, where some intricate types of coaching, some dynamics like, you know, working the use of tennis balls among the defensive backs for better hand-eye coordination so that they're going to intercept passes versus drop them or constantly knock them down. Little things like that are big things. And then seeing the effects of the strength and conditioning that this team is going through now. So I think that, too, is another part of what will look different. I'm trying to zero in on things that fans will notice that are different from before.
Well, I think that Rob Chudzinski was a very popular coach when he was here. I think he was a very popular coordinator when he was here because it represents, though short in span of time, it was a very explosive offense when he was guiding it. Even the year after they went 10-6, they could score points. They had difficulty in stopping the other team from scoring points, but that didn't land in his lap. So I think when people remember him coming here, I think they remember him coming here and Romeo Crennel handing him the offense, and then the offense just really unexpectedly exploding. I mean, when you think of that first year when he really took over calling plays, and in the opening game of the season, Vic, against Pittsburgh, they are getting blown out, and Charlie Fry is the starting quarterback, and by the second quarter, Derek Anderson comes in, and then boom, it explodes. Not on opening day, but the second week of the season and on after that, they scored a lot of points. They were somebody that you really had to respect offensively. So I think the fans are saying, hey, we liked him when he was an offensive coordinator here, and we liked the offense. It was aggressive, it was attacking, and it was effective, and we haven't been able to say that a great deal since the Browns have come back in 1999. So I think on that point alone, people are excited to see, all right, now what's he going to be as a head coach here?
And what will make them even more excited is seeing Brandon Whedon look like he's made a lot of progress.
Yeah.
Look like the guy that you need to have as your franchise starter, not just the guy occupying the position, and to really make it clear, because we saw this last summer, there was a clear distance between Whedon's physical ability and that of Colt McCoy, that of everybody else, Thaddeus Lewis, on this football team in camp. And that's got to shine through this year. It's a different dynamic with a Jason Campbell and all his experience that he brings and the fact that he has started so many more games and the fact that Brian Hoyer, another experienced guy, has a whole different style physically. He doesn't have that arm that the other two guys have. But But I think for the sake of what we keep touting, which is North Turner's coaching ability of quarterbacks, that technical sense, that quarterback doctor that he is, the results of it have to show in what? A guy who's more accurate, who is more consistent, who gets the ball out of his hands faster, who operates with a greater sense of urgency.
Yeah. I think if you listed storylines coming into this training camp, I don't think you'd be wrong in saying number one is quarterback, number two is quarterback, and number three is quarterback. And those are your three stars that you give after, hockey night in Canada every Saturday night. And I really do believe that, Vic, because I think if you just take a look at Whedon and say, well, he should be better anyway, because he played a lot last year. I mean, he only missed the last game of the season, and he only missed like a quarter of the last of when he got hurt. The second to last game was when he got hurt in Denver, and then he missed the last quarter of that game, and then the whole final game of the season over in Pittsburgh. He played a lot of football. He played in good weather, bad weather. He played on turf and on grass. He played in wind and rain. He played in domes. He played, he played home and he played away. So I mean, that alone, he should be better. Now you add in Norv Turner in this offense, which everyone, at least in verbiage, says that this is going to be friendlier to what kind of quarterback his skills are. Then I think that, he becomes a huge part of the story. Vic, every afternoon I watch these NFL shows on ESPN and the NFL Network, and they have these categories, which quarterback is on the hot seat? And Whedon's always on the list.
So, yes, he is.
There are a lot of eyes on him.
Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci with you on ESPN 850 WKNR. So, Jim, as we talk about, we've covered a lot of big picture things and storylines, but there are other storylines. There are more, I think, legitimate position battles. Let's say quarterback is pretty much Brandon Whedon, show it or don't show
right.
it, but hopefully he evolves there. But on the defensive side of the ball, this is where the big question marks lie, right? Who is that cornerback starting next to or across from Joe Hayden? Who is that safety paired back there with T.J. Ward? Yeah. And who's kicking?
Yeah.
those are huge questions.
And who's returning it?
And who's returning?
And the other big question, Vic, is, and this is just because of what they've done defensively in the way they're going to line up, how are these defensive ends going to do now as outside linebackers? And that any time a team goes through this kind of change defensively in scheme and they go from the 3-4 to a 4-3 and then back to a 3-4, you always wonder, okay, you can't change all of the people in 1 year and get perfect people to play these positions. You are going to ask guys to really learn a new position, and they're going to have to learn it in a short period of time, and they're going to learn it at the NFL level, which is very difficult. So it would be fascinating to see how a guy like Jabal Sheard does this year, and it will be, of course, very intriguing to watch Mingo when he gets out there, the Browns' top draft choice. But some of these players that really played pretty well in their first year or 2 years here under the last coaching staff, and how are they going to do now in a different defense and under a different coordinator who really wants to throw the whole bag of tricks at it?
Yeah, and it really starts with, as you say, the outside linebackers who are part of a linebacking core that, what does this team have there? DeQuell Jackson, we know. We know what he's been, and a steady guy in the 4-3 and a guy who finally got some recognition from a league-wide standpoint this past year, Pro Bowl-wise. But in terms of this group, this unit, Paul Kruger working as an outside linebacker as a regular player, not a specialist, not coming in certain situations. That's a whole different world for him.
Yeah.
And Jabal Sheard, we know the different world from him picking up his hand now and standing up as an outside linebacker. We heard so many great reviews about him in the offseason. Are we going to continue to see that, Jim? Because those are part of the questions surrounding this team.
And the big thing that you don't see in mini camps and OTAs, of course, is you don't hit and you don't tackle. And defensively, that probably puts them back into more of a touch football, flag football mode. So we probably aren't going to get definitive answers until they get out on the field and they really start to hit, which happens in training camp. And we see them in those four preseason games, which to a team like the Browns now, Vic, and to players like Sheard, and whoever is going to battle for that safety spot and whoever is going to try and be the other cornerback on the other side of Joe Hayden, those four games become precious games for them. They're like regular season games to get to the regular season for these guys to try and win a spot and prove that they can play in this defense.
And I think, as you put it, how much can we glean from these camp practices. They're so controlled. I mean, it's such a tough thing to sort of gauge because there's limits on how much they can do out there. But the preseason games would be another one. And then how much exposure do you have to give everybody to make sure they're aboard without that risk of injury? Because we don't know what the depth is,
right,
Jim, especially with a team this young. You don't want to think about too many or any starters being out of there.
That really is, and that will be something that Rob Chudzinski will be pressed on and asked about a great deal, is how much do you play these guys? And does a team like the Browns, so young and trying to learn new systems on both sides of the ball, do regulars now need more playing time during preseason games? Or do you just say, hey, listen, let's give them the minimum, maybe just a pinch over the minimum, and just trust that their athletic ability and in the classroom and in the film room, they're going to learn it. And then on opening Sunday against Miami at Brown Stadium, they're going to be very, very good. That's a tricky equation, isn't it? It's an equation I thought they failed at a little bit last year. And I know I've been on record with you on this show saying I thought Whedon needed to play more during the preseason last year. And I thought that's why he had a bit of a hiccup, well, really a big hiccup in that opening game against Philadelphia. So that's a coach's nightmare right now, is to come up with the right amount of playing time and, for that matter, reps and practice time in these next 4 or 5 weeks.
And it'll be fascinating to see how this works with Josh Gordon, because this is a guy you know who is not going to be on the field in those first two games. So what's the balance between Josh getting him prepared and ready to roll and Josh, the guy who's going to replace Josh, getting him prepared to start those first two games? I think there's an interesting balance of these two reps, because after this camp ends, this guy's off of football for two solid weeks.
Right.
And that doesn't maybe sound like a lot, but it really is.
Yeah, that's the hard part is, and people need to realize that Gordon can be in training camp, and he can play in all four preseason games. You could play him all the way if you wanted to. But once the preseason is over, once that game week comes up for the game one of the regular season, he will not be even here, right, at the facility, and he won't be able to be with the team. So the next time they'll get him is in game three. Now, how much do you have to get him ready and then anticipate that he won't lose anything in those 2 weeks and he'll be ready to go in game three? And the most important thing is, you're right, the guy that's going to have to play in those first two games now, he's got to be ready.
Yeah, and he's got to develop some kind of rapport with Brandon Whedon. Brandon Whedon has to feel comfortable with – I mean, we are talking about the number one receiver on this team, and Gordon. So how much of this is Josh – how much of this is Greg Little taking up that role? How much of this is the, quote, other guy, whoever that is? I mean, it's not Devon Best, because he's got a very designated slot role. So are you taking a Travis Benjamin and putting him outside? Mm-hmm. You know, how are you dealing with that? And I think those are some of the key – among the many key questions, which – as I said at the outset, makes this as fascinating a camp as I've seen.
It's a difficult thing to do, because I know the Browns were waiting, and we were all waiting during training camp last year on a Joe Hayden verdict on when he was going to be suspended and when it was going to hit. But I thought that they did a pretty good job. They got the people ready as much as they could. The problem was Dimitri Patterson got hurt right away, you know, and all of a sudden you had to get Buster Screen in. But they played a lot of defensive backs, as you remember, during training camp. And I'm sure they're going to have to do that now with wide receivers, with the Gordon suspension definite. Now they know when it's going to hit in the first two games. We were waiting on Hayden. If you remember last year, he played the opener and then it hit after that. They lost him for the four games. No matter which way you look at it, it's a tough loss for the team. But you got to get over it, and everybody's got to deal with it, and somebody's got to go in and play, and it's a big opportunity for somebody.
Jimmy, it was great. Happy birthday to you. Enjoy the rest of this.
Thank you, Vic.
Wonderful
Vic
holiday.
I want to just say, for the people who cannot see us right now, this studio is nicer than my first apartment when I moved to Cleveland 30 years ago.
That's great. Well, we do things in style, and that's part of our gift to you.
Thank you.
He is the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, and he joins us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And there is much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.